Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Fields pump fake, wants to take it downfield, shot, that's a long way, fingertip catch, touchdown! The second connection from number one to number two.
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
Never get tired of that Chris Fowler highlight there. Fields to Olave!
Olave!
How would Dean Martin say the wide receiver's name?
When the ball hits his hand and the goes in the end zone, that's a lave.
I was going, oh, lave. Cantare. Anyway,
oh, boy.
We played that a lot through draft season. That's become like a running inside joke on the show. You know who knows? The real ones. They're acutely aware of that particular inside joke. We're going to talk about Justin Fields and the Bears in a second and some other news and notes around the National Football League and spin it forward to betting the upcoming season. But want to remind all our great listeners and viewers that next hour is the Power Hour. All our bets for tonight, side total and props for both games in the NBA. Game six between the Avs and the Golden Knights, the Major League Baseball slate. In 20 minutes, Pete Blackburn from Valley Sports joins us talking the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's going to be fantastic. And we appreciate each and every one of our listeners nationwide, Odyssey.com and the Odyssey app, 1430 AM, the Bet in Denver, KCBS HD3, Los Angeles, 105.9 FM HD2 in Chicago, and on YouTube at youtube.com/Odyssey Sports. Now, Ken, to the National Football League, where Justin Fields getting rave reviews at Bears mini camps, the OTAs. Darnell Mooney offering this quote. Mooney was fantastic last year, had his overs a couple times.
Yeah, you did. We bet those a lot.
But you know what? And they didn't win a lot. Not his fault. I would more
it would be like 48, and you would always come on and you would say, all right, like I have the Darnell Mooney, because like on one catch, he could get this. That was always the sell.
And he would get nine targets, and it would be Foles couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, or Trubisky like was throwing interceptions, and like we couldn't win the bets because of that. But those were good bets, and I mean that sincerely.
Foles deep down the right sideline, Mooney's open, and it hits row X,
or it's intercepted, like just brutal. Mooney offering this quote: "The very first one that Fields threw up to me, I was smiling mid route. He throws a beautiful ball. He's very accurate." Matt Nagy adding that Fields has that mentality to rip your heart out, which is an interesting quote because I feel like a lot of Bears quarterbacks have had that mentality. The problem is it's the fan base.
Who's the pronoun in that situation? Right. Yeah.
So the Bears over under win total, Ken, in this 17 game season, sitting at 7.5 plus 350 to win the NFC North. Field 7-1 offensive rookie of the year. So at this current juncture in time, Andy Dalton looks like he's going to be the week one starter when the Bears visit the LA Rams Sunday Night Football. But you would assume Fields is going to play like a good amount this season. I can't imagine that not being the case. What's your read right now on Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears?
Can I ask you this? I promise this is a related question, even though it sounds random. Did Herbert win Offensive Rookie of the Year last year?
Yes. Right. I think I'm pretty sure he did.
So he actually, I'm like 90% sure, but I just wanted to make sure Tyler's saying yes in our chat. And I only ask because this is a market I actually don't bet into very often. And I had some trouble solving it.
Yes, Herbert won. Yes.
Okay. And Herbert actually broke kind of a trend last year. And we didn't do a lot on this award market because it's a little bit of a kind of a niche market, and I think it's really tough to solve. Herbert was, I think, the first quarterback who had ever won the award.
Kyler won it the year before.
Who didn't start the season as the starter.
Oh, got it. Fair. Yes.
I think he was the first, he had broken that. Like, I think Matt Ryan had won the award. Cam Newton had won the award. Obviously Kyler had won the award, but those guys were all like top five picks who were obviously going to start from week one. And that wasn't what Herbert was. And he still won the award anyway, which I found really interesting. You could argue like, okay, well, depending on who he was up against and what happened during that season, that was kind of interesting. So,
and he started the only game he didn't start was week one.
Yeah. It took, I mean, yeah.
The team doctor had to puncture Tyrod Taylor's lung. Yeah. And Anthony Lynn's like, yeah, if that didn't happen, he'd still be like, Herbert's literally authoring the greatest rookie season ever by a quarterback. And Anthony Lynn's like, yeah, actually, we want to play Tyrod Taylor.
Tough break for Tyrod. Tough break for him.
Not a tough break, more like a tough puncture of the old lung.
Surprise wasn't like a tough civil lawsuit. the idea of, okay, well, like it has to be somebody who starts week one. That was always kind of something that I'd never really been into this market, but that was kind of a belief that I always held. And then Herbert broke that. So now if you tell me Fields isn't starting week one, I'm like, all right, well, literally the guy just won last year who did it. So it can't be a disqualifying factor. That's, I guess, my point there. So don't be, if you do like Fields, if you have a lot of information that he's excellent, your analysis tells you that he's excellent, you can actually still put in the bet if he doesn't start week one. I think that's like an encouraging thing, actually, if you still like him. Anything about the Bears this season, though, aside from, you know, like I have to watch Justin Fields to tell you whether I think he can win. I have no idea what we're going to kind of expect here. The Bears in general, though, we had Robert Mays on yesterday from the Ringer, and I would encourage everybody to go back and listen to that interview. It was excellent.
Formerly of the Ringer, now of the Athletic.
Oh, I'm sorry. He used to work for the Ringer, now works for the Athletic. Despite who he works for, or no matter who he works for, the segment was excellent. A lot of his answers, I thought, had a lot of really good information.
And Robert Mays of Bleacher Report joined us.
Robert Mays, Odyssey Insider, brought to you by Zoom Podference, whatever.
Robert Mays of the Seattle Post-Intelligencer joined us yesterday.
Right. Oh, we football season, we get to do the newspapers again, or overnights. It's the segment that the Times Picayune calls. Anyway, did he kind of sell you on, I mean, he went with basically a Rodgers theory that was, like, whatever, like, the most likely thing is, or the thing that makes the most sense, that's the easiest for the parties involved, that's what's going to end up happening.
Funny, so basically he's basically like, Occam's razor dictates that Aaron Rodgers will be back with the Green Bay.
Right. He gave, like, I mean, I think just a logical case that, like, you know, these are extreme outcomes. Rodgers leaves or the team trades him. Those are the kind of moves that, like, get you fired if you're front office, et cetera, et cetera. And I bring this up because, like, any handicap of any of the teams in the NFC North, my immediate, this is like Lakers Suns. Oh, who do you have in Lakers Suns game five? I don't know. Is Anthony Davis playing? Tell me. And then I'll tell you what I think is going to happen. What do you think of the Bears win total? I don't know. Is Aaron Rodgers on the Packers? Like, tell me what you think is happening. What are their odds to win the division? Like, you know, is he going to start week one? Is he coming into camp on time? So it's tough for me to, like, give you this amazing take when the team that is insanely likely to win the division if Rodgers stays, we have no idea if he's going to stay or not. Just looking at the team in isolation, right? It's kind of interesting. Like, Nagy gets dumped on all the time, right? Like, you probably don't think Matt Nagy's a very good head coach, if I'm guessing. Yeah, you have pretty strong coach.
I feel like the jury's honestly out. He's made the playoffs a number of times. He was saddled with an absolutely terrible quarterback in Mitch Trubisky, went 12-4, and they did go to the playoffs last year. Now, squeaked in as the last team. We would have rather seen Arizona there if their head coach didn't have oatmeal for brains. I don't know that Matt Nagy's a horrendous head coach. I still feel like Matt Nagy might be okay.
Yeah, I think one of the really interesting things here is I tend to fall into, like, however everybody feels about it. Like, if everybody's dumping on a head coach, I tend to, in my brain, be like, yeah, that guy stinks. Even though I don't really have a strong opinion. Like, I don't see the same things that a lot of the X's and O's people see. So I kind of just go with the crowd on a lot of this stuff. But you look at what they've accomplished and who their quarterbacks have been when they've accomplished it. And, like, can you make an argument that if Trubisky is your quarterback, even if you have a really good defense, going 8-8 is actually, like, really not the worst thing in the entire world in that situation. And that this presents a really interesting opportunity to evaluate Nagy with this type of quarterback, with a quarterback with way more upside, even if he doesn't end up achieving it. And even if he ends up being, like, even a more mobile Mitch Trubisky in his rookie season before he kind of learns everything and learns how to be an established NFL quarterback. It is kind of interesting that, like, their floor hasn't been very low. Like, in any of the Trubisky seasons, I mean, made the playoffs 8-8, another playoff appearance. Like, I do think it's kind of, I think Chicago is actually really interesting. Now, in order to make a bet, I have to know whether Rodgers is playing or not for the Packers, because that involves simulating the season. You know what the spreads are between them. You know what Green Bay's ceiling is. So everything is affected by this. But just on the surface, Chicago in a vacuum, I think they are a team that, by swapping quarterbacks, even to a rookie quarterback, I think they actually have the chance to have, like, a pretty good amount of upside. Can they win 14 games? Probably not. But can they put up 10-7? Can they put up a lot of 10-7s in simulation? Can they win 9-10 games a lot? I think the answer is yes, honestly.
All right, you bet BetQL Audio Network. Costos and Barkley running through some news and notes around the National Football League. Cam Newton has a bruise on his right hand that he suffered last week. Patriots at OTAs. Not considered major, though, but according to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, we may not see Cam Newton until training camp. Bill Belichick adding that he thinks Cam's going to be all right. So Jarrett Stidham taking the first team reps in his stead, while Mac Jones, whatever. Like, get. Send Jarrett Stidham somewhere away from us.
How does he get reps anywhere on Earth? How does that happen? Like, he should be on Jeff Bezos' spaceship to get reps.
Goodbye. We'll see you on the moon, buddy. Patriots over under win total of 9. So Mac Jones kind of waiting in the wings, right? Mac Jones is Mac Jones, rookie of the year number, 8-1 to win that award. And look, Jarrett Stidham can take the first team reps now. That's great. If Cam Newton gets hurt in week one, Mac Jones is coming and not Jarrett Stidham. And if not, it's the worst draft pick of all time. So I think this is incredibly fascinating. This is probably not like a 6 minute topic. I actually think this could be like a 60 minute topic that you and I talk about with the Patriots. Maybe Mac Jones is really good. Maybe he's going to be awesome. That could very well be the case. I kind of think I like the Dolphins and the Patriots this year in the AFC. And maybe I've done a poor job framing this as kind of like one or the other. I kind of like both here. I think Cam could have a decent year with the weapons that they have right now in New England. So curious where you're at right now on the Patriots. Less of a, like, who's the second best team in the AFC East, and more just like, let's just look at the Patriots here. Over under win total right now of 9 and odds to win the AFC East of +350.
I mean, a ton of volatility because the quarterback position, super volatile. I try not to let, like, I've been a Patriots fan my entire life and obviously went through like a prolonged era of where you didn't even have to think about this stuff, where it was just like, oh, it's that guy and we're going to win and whatever. And it didn't require this much analysis. But if you kind of consider like all of the things that would create like an overall macro handicap of a football team. So quarterback's one, but let's look at all the other ones, right? It's kind of like coach, history of that coach, like culture and kind of the organization. How much money do they spend in the offseason, which leads to the next one, which is like, is the team's goal to win? Like that kind of stuff. Like all of these questions and kind of like big picture topics with New England, like emphasize that like the team is very all in on having a successful season this season. Whereas like Detroit is not all in on having a successful season this season.
They're actually all in on not having a successful.
Yeah. They're actually very, very, they're inspired actually to have a very terrible season this season. They're like actually very motivated to have a terrible season this season. Like I would even argue, like Cincinnati's a year away from being all in on having a remarkable season. This is like get Burrow back. Okay, we'll like start surrounding him with like everybody's in a different place on the timeline. New England's like in an all in place on the timeline. So to me, that makes the floor really low because it means like quick hook for the quarterback, no matter what. Like spent a ton of money in the offseason, guys coming back on defense from sitting out the previous year. So like
Dante Hightower, chief among them.
It's like a weird situation where I feel like there is a lot of volatility but I think it's volatility between average and excellent. Like, I don't think there's a version of the team that's terrible. I actually think it's impossible that the team is terrible. It's like literally impossible. You would need every quarterback to get hurt on the roster, basically, or at least both of the first two, because there's just too much here, like culture, talent, defense.
They went 7-9 last year. They won 7 games last year with that roster.
But it's still volatile. It's just the range of wins instead of like, well, it's volatile. It could be 4 or it could be 11. It's like, well, no, it could be like 7 or it could be like 14 is like actually kind of what it should be. So it's still very volatile. I can't give you like a, I really think this is going to happen. It's a giant mystery, honestly, but in any situation where there's like a specific, like constant talking point. So with the Patriots, it's the quarterback position, obviously. Everything else about the team indicator wise would tell me like the team is going to be better than they were last year, that they have a lot of positive indicators that they're going to be very good this season, and that the team is extremely driven to be good exactly right now. So those things would kind of lead me to like, I would find it unlikely I would have an under bet on the Patriots at this number, because the number is just slightly above average. Basically the number is like about 9 in the market, 17 game season. I think maybe it's an over, maybe it's not. And I don't know if I'm going to know the answer to that until after the preseason, honestly. Like it might take until the day before the season to really feel like I have any clue. And it might not even be before the season. Like I might have to wait and watch them. Maybe it's a futures bet through two games. If it's like, oh my God, like if I see enough in one game, is this something that I feel confident kind of going to war with and making a bet on? A ton of mystery, right? Absolutely fascinating. But I do think that volatility argument stands, and that the range of outcomes is in the high end, but it still could be a lot of different numbers.
You know, what's really interesting, I kind of find myself as time goes on, like the more we talk about Miami and the more we talk about New England, I kind of find myself thinking, is Buffalo really the lock that like I have considered them to be to win the AFC East, that a lot of people think that the Buffalo Bills are? I think they're the best team heading into it. They're the favorite, obviously. I think all three of these teams have the opportunity to be really good this season. I think it makes it interesting and maybe presents us, Ken, with a betting opportunity to go elsewhere than Buffalo if we're going to bet a winner of the AFC East.
Right. I'd almost rather bet no Buffalo than bet one of the other two teams too. And like, okay, cool. Then I do get the Jets in there and I don't want the Jets, but like, you know, trying to pick between the two of which one is going to dethrone Buffalo seems like an impossible task right now. I think it's just about probability, right? The Euros are starting. Italy's super likely to win their group. Does that mean they're going to win it? No, but they're super likely. I think that's the way with Buffalo. There's a chance they could lose the division, but they're a high probability to win it.
And also Houston Texans head coach David Culley announcing that they will not hold their mandatory minicamp from June 15th to 17th because, quote, the team accomplished all they've wanted to get accomplished. Good luck with 0-17, David Culley. Take a break from the National Football League. And on the other side, we talk Stanley Cup playoffs with Pete Blackburn of Valley Sports. And I'm going to ask Pete, hey, Pete, can the Islanders beat the Tampa Bay Lightning?
It's You Better You Bet on the BetQL Audio Network. For the latest line movement and edges to beat the spread, download the BetQL app today.